Chapter 80. The opening of the eyes of Mrs. Chick, Miss Tox, all unconscious of any such rare appearances in connection with Mr. Dombey's house, as scaffoldings and ladders, and men with their heads tied up in pocket handkerchiefs, glaring in at the windows like flying jenny or strange birds, having breakfasted one morning at about this eventful period of time, on her customary viands, to wit, one French roll rasped, one egg new laid or warranted to be, and one little pot of tea, wherein was infused one little silver scoopful of that herb on behalf of Miss Tox, and one little silver scoopful on behalf of the teapot, a flight of fancy in which good housekeepers delight, went upstairs to set forth the bird waltz on the harpsichord, to water and arrange the plants, to dust the knick-knacks, and, according to her daily custom, to make her little drawing room the garland of princesses plus. Miss Tox endued herself with a pair of ancient gloves, like dead leaves, in which she was accustomed to perform these avocations hidden from human sight at other times in a table drawer, and went methodically to work, beginning with the bird waltz, passing, by a natural association of ideas, to her bird a very high-shouldered canary, stricken in ears, and much rumpled, but a piercing singer, as Princesses Plus well knew, taking, next in order, the little china ornaments, paper fly cages, and so forth, and coming round, in good time, to the plants, which generally required to be snipped here and there with a pair of scissors, for some botanical reason, that was very powerful with Miss Tox. Miss Tox was slow in coming to the plants this morning. The weather was warm, the wind southerly, and there was a sigh of the summer time in Princesses Plus that turned Miss Tox's thoughts upon the country. The potboy attached to the Princess's arms had come out with a can and trickled water, in a flowering pattern, all over Princesses Plus, and it gave the weedy ground a fresh scent, quite a growing scent, Miss Tox said. There was a tiny blink of sun peeping in from the great street round the corner, and the smoky sparrows hopped over it and back again, brightening as they passed, or bathed in it, like a stream, and became glorified sparrows, unconnected with chimneys. Legends in praise of ginger beer, with pictorial representations of thirsty customers submerged in the effervescence, or stunned by the flying corks, were conspicuous in the window of the Princess's arms. They were making late hay, somewhere out of town, and though the fragrance had a long way to come, and many counter fragrances to contend with among the dwellings of the poor, may God reward the worthy gentlemen who stickle for the plague as part and parcel of the wisdom of our ancestors, and who do their little best to keep those dwellings miserable. Comma yet it was wafted faintly into Princesses Plus, whispering of nature and her wholesome air, as such things will, even unto prisoners and captives, and those who are desolate and oppressed, in very spite of aldermen and knights to boot. At whose sage nod, and how they nod, the rolling world stands still. Miss Tox sat down upon the window seat, and thought of her good papa deceased Mr. Tox, of the Customs Department of the Public Service, and of her childhood, passed at a seaport, among a considerable quantity of coal tar, and some rusticity. She fell into a softened remembrance of meadows, in old time, gleaming with buttercups, like so many inverted firmaments of golden stars, and how she had made chains of dandelion stalks for youthful vowers of eternal constancy, dressed chiefly in nankeen, and how soon those feathers had withered and broken. Sitting on the window seat, and looking out upon the sparrows and the blink of sun, Miss Tox thought likewise of her good mama deceased sister to the owner of the powdered head and pigtail of her virtues and her rheumatism. And when a man with bulgy legs, and a rough voice, and a heavy basket on his head, that crushed his hat into a mere black muffin, came crying flowers down Princesses Plus, making his timid little roots of daisies shudder in the vibration of every yell he gave, as though he had been an ogre, hawking little children, summer recollections were so strong upon Miss Tox, that she shook her head, and murmured she would be comparatively old, before she knew it, which seemed likely. In her pensive mood, Miss Tox's thoughts went wandering on Mr. Dombey's track, probably because the Major had returned home to his lodgings opposite, and had just bowed to her from his window. What other reason could Miss Tox have for connecting Mr. Dombey with her summer days and dandelion fetters? Was he more cheerful? Thought Miss Tox. Was he reconciled to the decrees of fate? Would he ever marry again? And if yes, whom? What sort of person now? A flushet was warm weather overspread Miss Tox's face, as, while entertaining these meditations, she turned her head, and was surprised by the reflection of her thoughtful image in the chimney glass. Another flush succeeded when she saw a little carriage drive into Princess's Place, and make straight for her own door. Miss Tox arose, took up her scissors hastily, and so coming, at last, to the plants, was very busy with them, when Mrs. Chick entered the room. How is my sweetest friend? exclaimed Miss Tox, with open arms. A little stateliness was mingled with Miss Tox's sweetest friend's demeanor, but she kissed Miss Tox, and said, Lucretia, thank you, I am pretty well. I hope you are the same. Mrs. Chick was laboring under a peculiar little monosyllabic cough, a sort of primer, or easy introduction to the art of coughing. You call very early, and how kind that is, my dear. Pursued Miss Tox. Now, have you breakfasted? Thank you, Lucretia, said Mrs. Chick, I have. I took an early breakfast. The good lady seemed curious on the subject of Princess's Plus, and looked all round it as she spoke with my brother, who has come home. He is better, I trust, my love, faltered Miss Tox. He is greatly better, thank you. My dear Louis, you must be careful of that cough, remarked Miss Tox. It's nothing, returned Mrs. Chick, it's merely change of weather. We must expect change. Of weather? Asked Miss Tox, in her simplicity. Of everything, returned Mrs. Chick, of course we must. It's a world of change. Anyone would surprise me very much, Lucretia, and would greatly alter my opinion of their understanding, if they attempted to contradict, or evade what is so perfectly evident. Change! Exclaimed Mrs. Chick, with severe philosophy. Why, my gracious me, what is there that does not change? Even the silkworm, who I am sure might be supposed not to trouble itself about such subjects, changes into all sorts of unexpected things continually. My Louis, said the mild Miss Tox, is ever happy in her illustrations. You are so kind, Lucretia, returned Mrs. Chick, a little softened, as to say so, and to think so, I believe. I hope neither of us may ever have any cause to lessen our opinion of the other, Lucretia. I am sure of it, returned Miss Tox. Mrs. Chick coughed as before, and drew lines on the carpet with the ivory end of her parasol. Miss Tox, who had experience of her fair friend, and knew that under the pressure of any slight fatigue or vexation she was prone to a discursive kind of irritability, availed herself of the pause to change the subject. Pardon me, my dear Louis, said Miss Tox, but have I caught sight of the manly form of Mr. Chick in the carriage? He is there, said Mrs. Chick, but pray leave him there. He has his newspaper, and would be quite contented for the next 2 hours. Go on with your flowers, Lucretia, and allow me to sit here and rest. My Louis knows, observed Miss Tox, that between friends like ourselves, any approach to ceremony would be out of the question. Therefore Miss Tox finished the sentence, not in words but action, and putting on her gloves again, which she had taken off, and arming herself once more with her scissors, began to snip and clip among the leaves with microscopic industry. Florence has returned home also, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, after sitting silent for some time, with her head on one side, and her parasol sketching on the floor. And really Florence is a great deal too old now, to continue to lead that solitary life to which she has been accustomed. Of course she is. There can be no doubt about it. I should have very little respect, indeed, for anybody who could advocate a different opinion. Whatever my wishes might be, I could not respect them. We cannot command our feelings to such an extent as that. Apostrophe, Miss Tox assented, without being particular, as to the intelligibility of the proposition. If she's a strange girl, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, and if my brother Paul cannot feel perfectly comfortable in her society, after all the sad things that have happened, and all the terrible disappointments that have been undergone, then, what is the reply? That he must make an effort. That he is bound to make an effort. We have always been a family remarkable for effort. Paul is at the head of the family. Almost the only representative of it left for, what am I am of no consequence apostrophe, my dearest love, apostrophe remonstrated Miss Tox. Mrs. Chick dried her eyes, which were, for the moment, overflowing, and proceeded. And consequently he is more than ever bound to make an effort. And though his having done so, comes upon me with a sort of shock for mine is a very weak and foolish nature. Which is anything but a blessing, I am sure. I often wish my heart was a marble slab, or a paving stone, my sweet Louisa, apostrophe remonstrated Miss Tox again. Still, it is a triumph to me to know that he is so true to himself, and to his name of Domini, although, of course, I always knew he would be. I only hope, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, after a pause, that she may be worthy of the name too. Miss Tox filled a little green watering pot from a jug, and happening to look up when she had done so, was so surprised by the amount of expression Mrs. Chick had conveyed into her face, and was bestowing upon her, that she put the little watering pot on the table for the present, and sat down near it. My dear Louisa, apostrophe said Miss Tox, will it be the least satisfaction to you, if I venture to observe in reference to that remark, that I, as a humble individual, think your sweet niece in every way most promising? Tilda tilde what do you mean, Lucretia? Apostrophe returned Mrs. Chick, with increased stateliness of manner. To what remark of mine, my dear, do you refer? Apostrophe apostrophe, her being worthy of her name, my love, apostrophe replied Miss Tox. If, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, with solemn patience, I have not expressed myself with clearness, Lucretia, the fault of course is mine. There is, perhaps, no reason why I should express myself at all, except the intimacy that has subsisted between us, and which I very much hope, Lucretia confidently hope nothing will occur to disturb. Because, why should I do anything else? There is no reason, it would be absurd. But I wish to express myself clearly, Lucretia. And therefore to go back to that remark, I must beg to say, that it was not intended to relate to Florence, in any way. Apostrophe, indeed. Apostrophe apostrophe returned Miss Tox. No, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick shortly and decisively. Pardon me, my dear, apostrophe rejoined her meek friend, but I cannot have understood it. I fear I am dull. Apostrophe, Mrs. Chick looked round the room, and over the way, at the plants, at the bird, at the watering pot, at almost everything within view, except Miss Tox, and finally dropping her glance upon Miss Tox, for a moment, on its way to the ground, said, looking meanwhile with elevated eyebrows at the carpet. When I speak, Lucretia, of her being worthy of the name, I speak of my brother Paul's second wife. I believe I have already said, in effect, if not in the very words I now use, that it is his intention to marry a second wife. Apostrophe, Miss Tox left her seat in a hurry, and returned to her plants, clipping among the stems and leaves, with as little favor as a barber working at so many pauper heads of hair. whether she will be fully sensible of the distinction conferred upon her, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, in a lofty tone, is quite another question. I hope she may be. We are bound to think well of one another in this world, and I hope she may be. I have not been advised with myself. If I had been advised with, I have no doubt my advice would have been cavalierly received, and therefore it is infinitely better as it is. I much prefer it as it is. Apostrophe, Miss Tox, with head bent down, still clipped among the plants. Mrs. Chick, with energetic shakings of her own head from time to time, continued to hold forth, as if in defiance of somebody. If my brother Paul had consulted with me, which he sometimes does or rather, sometimes used to do, for he will naturally do that no more now, and this is a circumstance which I regard as a relief from responsibility, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, hysterically, for I thank heaven I am not jealous apostrophe here Mrs. Chick again shed tears. If my brother Paul had come to me, and had said, Louia, what kind of qualities would you advise me to look out for, in a wife? I should certainly have answered, Paul, you must have family, you must have beauty, you must have dignity, you must have connection. Those are the words I should have used. You might have led me to the block immediately afterwards, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, as if that consequence were highly probable, but I should have used them. I should have said, Paul, you to marry a second time without family, you to marry without beauty, you to marry without dignity, you to marry without connection. There is nobody in the world, not mad, who could dream of daring to entertain such a preposterous idea. Apostrophe, Miss Tox stopped clipping, and with her head among the plants, listened attentively. Perhaps Miss Tox thought there was hope in this exordium, and the warmth of Mrs. Chick. I should have adopted this course of argument, apostrophe pursued the discreet lady, because I trust I am not a fool. I make no claim to be considered a person of superior intellect, though I believe some people have been extraordinary enough to consider me so. One so little humored as I am, would very soon be disabused of any such notion, but I trust I am not a downright fool. And to tell me, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick with ineffable disdain, that my brother Paul Dombey could ever contemplate the possibility of uniting himself to anybody I don't care who she was more sharp and emphatic in, that short clause than in any other part of her discourse not possessing these requisites, would be to insult what understanding I have got, as much as if I was to be told that I was born and bred an elephant, which I may be told next, apostrophe said Mrs. Chick, with resignation. It wouldn't surprise me at all. I expect it. Apostrophe, in the moment's silence that ensued, Miss Tox's scissors gave a feeble clip or two. But Miss Tox's face was still invisible, and Miss Tox's morning gown was agitated. Mrs. Chick looked sideways at her, through the intervening plants, and went on to say, in a tone of bland conviction, and as one dwelling on a point of fact that hardly required to be stated. Therefore, of course my brother Paul has done what was to be expected of him, and what anybody might have foreseen he would do if he entered the marriage state again. I confess it takes me rather by Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.